And good morning and welcome to the La Porte Church of Christ. It is February 23rd, 2025. And so I guess that'd be 2-3. And anyway, welcome and we thank you for being here this morning. We're going to start off with a song this morning, and this song is First Day. Favorite ones that Pastor Peter's recorded. Before we get started, a couple of announcements. If you have not received your Dragon Slayer newsletter in the mail by now, definitely let us know. Got a lot of calls on it last week and emails, and people said that it was received. So that was volume 2 of 2025, and more on knowing your enemies. And it was kind of a smorgasbord. We talk a little bit about JFK, got some stuff from some blasts from the past from Howard Rand, which is, I found an article that read, and it was just fantastic. And so it's got a variety, and if you're on our mailing list, on the email mailing list, you should have got that on Friday also. And working on getting that posted up to the website. Had some computer issues yesterday. And was trying to get the prayer and imprecatory prayer and the preparatory prayer loaded, and was having problems with the computer, couldn't get that done, and couldn't get a couple updates done. So hopefully get that finished up by Monday. And want to pray for a couple of different people. Last night, a local friend of mine, he passed away from a stroke. He'd been on life support for about 4 days, and then his family came in, and they disconnected him yesterday, and talked to his sister last night, and they were just, families kind of struggling and going through a rough time. So I want to keep the family of them in our prayers. And then also, it just seems like it's been the week of strokes. Got a text message from a friend, Derek, up in Canada, and his brother-in-law is suffered a massive stroke, and he's in the hospital, and I want to pray for him. And then last night, Ron's mom, guy that works for me, does quite a bit of work for me, he called me late last night and talked for a long time, and his mother had suffered a bad stroke and been in the hospital, and they're just waiting to see what happens there. So want to start off by praying for them. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we lift up this family that has lost a loved one, and Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we ask that you grant them that peace that passes understanding, that you grant them wisdom and strength and encouragement in these sad, trying times. We just pray, Father, that you be with each and every one of them and that you tend to their needs. And Lord, we come before you and we lift up Trevor, who's in the hospital fighting and surrounded by family. And Lord, we just lift him up and we just lift him up to you. And we ask, Father, that if it's your will to save him, that you just bring him back from this stroke, and that you bring him back alive, and that you just do a mighty and an awesome work there in his life. Lord, we pray for Ron's mother also, and we just lift her up to you, and we just ask, Father, that you do a mighty work there in her life, and that you be with her, and that you do what needs to be done. Lord, we just lift them up to you, and we pray, Father, for those doors that need to be opened, and for the doors that need to be shut. We lift them up and lift them up to you and just ask, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them, and we ask. So there's definitely a lot of stuff going on, and but I wanted to start off by talking a little bit about, I do want to pray the preparatory prayer and the imprecatory prayer. We've got the new one, and if you're on our prayer list, it did get sent out, and so you'll be receiving that in a couple of days. And I apologize for not getting it out sooner. It's my fault. Just got a whole stack of things that need to get done, and been running a little bit of behind on several different things. But Lord willing, get back on track on that, and try to get those prayers updated on a regular basis and get them sent out to you. And we're going to go ahead and pray this. It's Prayer for the Scriptures for America and Gideon Elite Prayer Warriors, February 2025. A prayer for the remnant, crying out to our God for his protection on those that are his and the destruction on the enemies of Christ. Our Lord Jesus, we enter your rock when we are baptized into Jesus Christ and remain there through communion and living our lives loving you, submitting to you and your word. We now claim and put on your protective covering, which is ours when we repent and confess and turn from our wicked ways. We do so now calling for you through the blood of Jesus Christ to create within us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Furthermore, Lord, we put on the Christian armor as Christian soldiers prior to the ambush prayer and claim your protection from all the forces and power of the enemy. Protect us and cover us, Lord Jesus. Save us from the hand of our enemies, those who hate us and you. Redeem us from them through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. In the name, through faith, we put them on notice, and we arise, thresh, and pulverize with this prayer the wicked, those who plot and lie in wait for our demise and death. Bring it all back upon them. Make it their demise and death. Send forth your warring angelic forces with the many varied weapons from your holy arsenal and avenge the blood of your servants. Render vengeance on your adversaries and atone for your land and people, and do it all before they do it unto us. We pound and pulverize them through this prayer, standing on the truth of Luke 10:19, that you have given us through Jesus Christ the authority and power over the enemy, and nothing shall injure us. We know if you be for us, who can be against us? And while we are praying, Lord, in these perilous times, it seems to us to be a good time to send forth those terror-gathering angels to gather, bundle, and burn the wicked stumbling blocks and lawless terrors. We call for you to so commission, and we do so likewise. Thank you for ambushing the ambushers. All praise and glory and majesty be given to our protector, redeemer, and commander, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to go to, we've got the a new tract, a new old tract, and it is basically the Bible Log Guide. And we'll bring that up on the screen. It is something that I found going through some papers from Pastor Peter's office a couple weeks ago. And this is something that I believe it was originally published in 1986. It was 86 or 87, and I had never seen it before, but as I read it, I made sure that I wanted to get it back into print. And it says, the Bible recognized as the Word of God the world over, including the United States Congress, has given a clear warning to nations, governments, and men concerning its law. See, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and a curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. Deuteronomy 11:26 through 28. It is true, America, once to a great degree, looked to the Bible for individual and national direction. But it's equally true that she has drifted from the scriptures into the ways of humanism. As a result, the curse described in scripture, such as debt, disease, broken families, etc., plague her. There is hope. It is called repentance, and repentance includes turning back to God's law. This brief Bible law guide is offered as one small assist to that end. And it's really good. We got it laid up again this last week and got it reprinted. It's printed on 11 by 17 paper. And we'll just scroll through it. Anyway, if you'd like one of these, we'd like to send it to you. Just request the Bible Law Guide. And I went through a lot of these scriptures this week and just looked them up. And it's just, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And I hope you do as well. It's a good tool, so to speak, that we have. And also, just some of the stuff, talking about some of the stuff that we've been doing recently, we've got a Spotify channel, and we'll show that up here. And got a text from a man today. I put up a couple messages on humility, and just took it and I texted it to people. And I was really encouraged by the people that actually took the time to listen to it and the feedback that I got. It was really neat. I got a text back from a man who lives in Laramie, who's a mechanic, and I had sent it to him a couple of days ago, and he listened to it this morning and texted me and thanked me again for sending it. He said it was just a fantastic message. And so I got that up there, and I know there's a lot of people that use Spotify. There's a lot of people that don't, but it is a free service that you can get and you can sign up to. And what I like about it is when you subscribe to a channel, anytime something's uploaded, anytime there's a new episode, it automatically alerts you, and you just click the button and listen to it. So it makes it really easy. And also, we got Rumble, and been trying to get stuff up on Rumble, and there you can see, if you just go in there to Rumble and type in SFAWBN, it will pop up, or you can type in Scriptures for America, and there's a lot of people have been using that. It's supposed to be the uncensored video site compared to like what YouTube has become. There's a lot of censorship that's going on YouTube. But there's some of the messages that we've got up there, continuing to try to get them put up. And some of them we're getting quite a few hits on. And they've been actually shared on several other sites, and people are downloading them. So that's encouraging. So that's some of the things that we've been doing. So want to check that out. And I guess looking at the clock, we're going to go ahead and go to Brother Zach. He's got a message on a continuation on the end game. And then I'll be back for communion here.
And greetings to the one flock, the now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today's this day, February 23, 2025. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there this morning. We're glad that you joined us, and we hope you did your side of the bargain, which was to advertise for us. If you don't do that, we don't get new people in, then we're not accomplishing our mission. So your part is right now, do the advertising, get people listening, and that way we will do the talking and we can spread the word to the best of our ability. And with that being said, we are going to define who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1, big surprise. Starting in verse 1, I begin by reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. And in order to know Him, you have to know the entire Word. And that is what all I'm going to say about that this morning. And we're going to do a little bit of talking. I kind of abandoned the Abrahamic covenant because I listened to my last one that I did in my reading, and I am a terrible reader. I'm more of a talker, as you all know. And I listened to my own sermon, and I thought it was kind of boring. So unless you were reading along with you, or along with you, I probably had no idea what was going on. So I will take my own advice, as I said last week, and you always have to accept the notion that you might be wrong. And I might have been wrong. I think I was wrong, because I couldn't even stand listening to myself. So we're abandoning that, and we're going to go into some Bible study, discussion, and we're going to talk about more of the end game. So what we have here is we are in a situation in this country today that every decision that has been made by the individuals, politicians, military, whatever, has led this country into the state that it is in today. It is a joint effort, whether you want to admit it or not, but for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and there's been a lot of abandonment of God's ways, God's rules, and the result is a country that has abandoned their God. And our goal as a ministry and as the Christian body is to reestablish His kingdom. We are to reestablish His kingdom and let everybody know that the God of the Bible is in full control of the prosperity or the curses that are laid on this land. Now, most people think it's the dumb politicians, and most people think that, you know, it's because of this, that, or the other. I maintain it is because of the false leading of the preachers in this land, because they don't put in the minds of the people that God's law still reigns supreme over man's law, and man needs to submit to his politics versus a blended politics, which we have in this land today, including across the world. And what I mean by that is all the Israelite nations, all those multitude of nations that were prophesied to Abraham in Genesis 17, they have a Babylonianized half-god, half-god of the Bible, half-satanic Babylonian rule political system over top of them, and this is no foundation that any of us should have. But the reason why we're in it, and as many of you know, is because when you disobey the word of the Lord, when you disobey his law, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that he will put people over top of you. As it says in Romans, that the government are ministers of the Lord. So in other words, all of our decisions in the past, our parents' generation, their decisions, their parents' generation, all of their decisions have led us, this country, God's people, into the position that they are in now. Now, when you do that, God is going to put a taskmaster over you. He is going to enslave you. He will sell you for nothing. We're going to do a way of review of Isaiah 58 here in a second. But make no mistake that if God puts you in a system, it is there for your own good. There's a favorite, one of my favorite guys I like to listen to. His name is Jocko Willink. And one of his sayings says, discipline equals freedom. If you're willing to accept the discipline, then freedom will be the result. If you are not willing to accept the discipline, then you will be enslaved. The problem is you need to know how you got there. You need to know why. And you got to have a plan to get out as a body. So what we are forced in today is we are forced, because of our unbelief as a nation, as a group of people, to live in a dual system, half God system, half Babylon system. If you don't believe me, read Kings. They had some of God's ways and some of Babylon's ways, and they blended it. And the reason why they did it was for a level of protection, so that way God just wouldn't wipe them off the map. So what you have here is a thought war. We are involved in a thought war. When you have a system like that, you have to decipher what's right and wrong in your mind. And there are blessings for choosing wrong for a short period of time. But in the end, the long run, the generations to come are the ones that will do the pain. And here we are paying now. So how do we get into this situation because of the decision? It is because of poor training. It is because of poor knowledge being poured into my head, into the generations before me head. And now when they get a little bit of knowledge in them, they think they can figure everything out and everyone else is wrong, and they get a big head and they get bloat. Get all puffed up like they know everything. And most people couldn't figure out how to get out of it in the first place. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 52. I begin by reading. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from your chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So as we explained last week, and as Pastor Peters has explained to you time and time again, you have a group of people that are asleep and oblivious to the chains that are around their neck and their physical outward appearance to the world. They are captive in filthy garments and or they are naked. And they need to clothe themselves in their beautiful garments. Why would they do that? It is because of who they are. It is because who their husband is. Our husband is Jesus Christ, the man, the word that became flesh, and he set us free. That way, when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that old man is buried and comes up, and our sins are forgiven, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we have clothed ourselves in righteousness with knowledge. Now, you're just a baby, you got a lot to learn. But that is what happens when you do that. That's what happens when you do that. But you're still living in this world. You still have a mortgage. You still got that crappy job that you hate, that you're only making $30 an hour. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to be like one of those ones in Acts where they say, these are the people that are turning the world upside down? When you're so chained down, you can't move. And at the end of the day, if you're a young man like I was, all trained up, so I thought, I wouldn't give a nickel for half the stuff that was in my head back then when I got baptized. My Christian foundation is still as solid as it always was, but a lot of the training that I've gotten from older people, I've literally disregarded because it just wasn't working. I felt like a loser. Me and Jason were talking earlier. We felt like losers because of the training that we were given on how to do stuff, and it just wasn't working. It was hard. In fact, it was so hard, you couldn't have designed it any harder to get out of that financial bond. And then I look back on it and I realize most of them didn't have to do it themselves. That's the worst part about it. They didn't tell you how to do something, they can't even do it themselves. They didn't have to do the stuff that what I was faced with. I had nothing. I'm stuck between this spot, and no matter what I do, I was on a one-way street to loser. I'm stuck in this system that is so oppressive. Half the training I got was literally handcuffing my productivity. But as you remember, a while back when I was pointing out the three system that the Apostle Paul was in, he was playing the Roman system, because he was a Roman system. He was playing the Pharisee system. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was working is what he was doing. He was working the Pharisee system. He was working the Roman system. And he was working God's system. He was operating in all three systems without sin. And that's the key to the end game. So how do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to listen to somebody that's making progress, not going backwards. That's what you have. If someone's going backwards, disregard what they say. And I'm talking financially. In navigating this system that's in place of us in the United States of America. If they're going backwards, don't listen to them. If they're staying stagnant, don't listen to them. If they don't have all of the responsibilities that you have, do not listen to them. If they don't have the results that you need, not want, need, disregard. Now, if you want to be a bum and a loser like them, go ahead. You need to understand you have to operate in this system in order to take those chains from around your neck in order to clothe yourself. Because if you don't, if you're not successful in this system and you don't link up with somebody that's successful and cares about, you're going to remain in filthy clothes. You're going to remain with chains around your neck. You're going to remain asleep. And what I mean by that, you're going to think it's everybody else's fault that you're down on your luck. Take responsibility for what you're in right now. That's the first step. You got to look in the mirror. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your husband's fault. It's not your kid's fault. It's not what your mom and dad did to you and they screwed you out of inheritance or whatever. Hey, from this day forward, change how you operate. That is what you do. I was under the thought process as a young man growing up all through my 20s, my 30s, up until I was, well, I just turned 48. So up until I was 43 years old, I thought that I was under the instruction that if I wanted to get ahead in life, I was not allowed to use the bank. I couldn't buy a loan. I couldn't get a loan to do anything. And if I did, then I was in the system. I was doing wrong. I was evil. And in reality, I wasn't able to help anybody. Because by the time I got done paying all my bills, which I've always paid all my bills, I paid for all my children out of pocket to be born. No insurance. In fact, here's the thing. A lot of people, they tell you how to do stuff. Like if they're older than you, when they were, they didn't pull it off themselves. Okay. I'm myself and my brother and a couple other guys are the only dudes that I know that actually didn't have insurance because we were listening to what all these basically mental midgets were telling us about having to pay for everything up front and pay for your own cash. I'm one of the only ones that actually did it and kept my wife at home. And I'm telling you, it was hard. 10 times harder than it should have been. Because I thought that I couldn't get a loan. I thought, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there, I listened to Robert Kiyosaki, and like, I understood the concept, but I didn't want to be a sinner. Not ever realizing that God put me in this system. Not ever realizing what Paul did when he operated in all three perfectly. He was as wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. That's what he was. I heard a guy say, if you're going to buy a piece of equipment, then, you know, and if you're going to be a business owner, I'm talking about business. You got to pay for it. You got to buy it yourself. And I know tons of dudes around me, old guys, that that's the way they think. Oh, geez. You know. So I'll tell you, I went out and I took a loan for all of my equipment. It took me 3 years to pay it off. I got a lot of trucks. I got more trucks than most people do. They're all paid for. And we decided, that we needed a new chipper. And we needed to get a loan for it. Now, this was back in the fall. Had I not had that, I would have been wrecked this winter. It would have taken all my capital, and I would have had nothing. And I wouldn't have been able to survive. My partners wouldn't have been able to survive. Because instead of dropping a lot of money and not having any capital to get us through the winter. Instead, I only had to come up with, well, this is the third, this will be the third month. So that'll be Let me think here a second. $5,200 ish. Instead of the way more. Had I not had it. So you have to think and adjust how you operate. So I drew up a scenario with the thinking you have to pay for it in cash. Let's pretend you have, now you probably might be thinking, what does this have to do with being a Christian? It has everything to do with being a Christian, because if you don't get these principles down in this thinking, I mean, if you just want to be a farmhand, go be a farmhand. Don't complain about nothing. You sell your time and you agree to a wage, don't complain. If you want to be a savage and actually help somebody, you better pay attention. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to leave myself an out because I might not have it all figured out yet. But I do know what I've been able to accomplish in the last 5 years versus what I did the 25 or 30 before. The weight on the scale don't lie. And you need to get your mind right on how to win and be able to help other people, or else you're just flapping your gums and you're just gonna be in there with the other boat thinking Jesus is gonna come back in a cloud on a horse, beat everybody up for you. I mean, you're part of the body and he's already here. So I made this scenario. Let's pretend you bid a job, you have all this equipment, and the job is $1 million, and you recognize it's going to take you 1 year. It's going to take you 52 weeks to do this job. There's four of you. You have four hands to feed or to pay. You pay them a decent price. You pay them $1,500 a week. That's $78,000 a year. That's $312,000 total. For all four guys that you have in payroll. Okay? You need this one piece of equipment. Let's pretend it's $100,000. At $100,000, your payment's going to be about $2,000. Now, with the thinking, you have to pay for it in cash right now, all up front. Either you have it or you don't. Most people don't. I don't. So now that completely eliminates you from submitting your bid. You can't bid it because you don't have that piece of equipment. And then now what you're going to do, you're going to save $500 a month. And at $500 a month, it's going to throw like every a lot of months before you're even in the game. Years down the road. Let me figure this out here for a second for you. Let's pretend you can save $500 a month. To save for this piece of equipment, it's going to take you 16 years to save up for that piece of equipment. And the way inflation's going, in 16 years of your career, it's over, then you won't be able to bid it. So that's not a plan. Okay? In reality, if you need to save $100,000, you have to do $1 million a year anyway in business. To save him $100,000 in a year. That's just the snake. That's the flow. That's what it takes. So option one, wait till you save. Get kicked out of the $1 million bid. Option two, you can rent it. And this piece of equipment, when you start playing with pieces of equipment that are six figure, your month rental fee is right around $20,000. Ask me like, geez, free guy, you might be a little steep on that. No, that's exactly what it is, because that's the game I play and I know what it costs, and that's exactly what it costs. Give or take $1,000. So now, and we're just going to do guerrilla math. That's $20,000 a month. These are real numbers. This is real world stuff. You're going to need it for a year. That's 240 grand. That's almost a quarter million you have to put in rental. Then you got your fuel. You got all this equipment. To do a job that size, you're going to have about $140,000 in fuel. That's an accurate number. And then you have 20% maintenance, which is, well, you're going to have about 20 grand in maintenance, which is, you have another quarter million in that. So the problem we have here in this question or in this scenario is to rent, to be in the game. If you're going to be in the game, is to rent or to borrow. If you borrow, your payment's going to be 2 grand a month versus 20. And you also get to keep the machine. So we've already abandoned the first one to save the 16 years for your 100 grand, which is exactly what I was told to do and exactly what I was attempting to do. And I was on a one-way street to Loserville. This is stuff, that thinking comes from people in our circles. And they need to repent of that thinking. They are wrong. I cannot let that thinking be talked about and not pipe in and say something. That was option one. It took you right out of the game. You didn't even get to submit the bid. So now you're like the literally the only two logical things you can do to even be in the game if you don't have any capital is to rent or to buy, which is borrow. The rental is 20 grand a month. I know it. I just did it last week. I did it last week. I got the bill. I know what it cost. And if I didn't rent it, I actually told myself, I am going to go buy one. The heck with this. Or to buy and borrow and pay two a month and be able to keep it at the end of the year. I mean, it's a 60-month note probably. But we'll figure it. Let's look at the numbers at the end. So if you rent, because the fuel, the wages, and the $20,000 a month, and now I'm talking like big commercial jobs here. I'm not talking about, growing a fruit stand and a vegetable stand. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about if you want to be in there and go get in, jump in the lake and fight some big fish, that's what I'm talking about. I'm trying to inspire young people. Your wages, your fuel, your maintenance, and your insurance, that's what it is. You can't get around it. It is what it is. But what you can get around, and where all the money is being made on this project, is to, well, we've abandoned what everybody tells us to do because it's stupid, to rent or to borrow. Rent 20 grand a month, borrow 2 grand. If you rent, the total job cost, I figured this out, going to be $908,000 if you rent. That leaves you with $92,000 in profit. Well, that ain't too bad. What are you complaining about? I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's what it is. If you buy and you borrow, the cost of the job is $712,000 with a profit of $280,000, about $288,000 at the end of the year. What do? Obviously, you borrow. And then at the end of the year, you write a check for 80 grand and pay it off. You're still 200,000 ahead. That is what you do. It's called not being dumb. That is what you do. Why do you have to do it that way? Is because you are in a dual system that God put you in. If you borrow, you're over double. And you got the machine paid off. And you're able to help people. You're able to help your ministry. Oh, wait, you can't help your ministry because they don't believe in being a 501c3. Which makes them pay 40% taxes instead of a write-off. Even making that harder. And I know I'm going to get some pushback on it. And I already gave Jason the permission. He can give whoever complains my phone number. I'm ready. I take 100% responsibility for this talk in this lesson because I can't let stuff like that be said and be taught and have people waste their lives with that kind of thinking because that's what they'll end up doing. So I did with half of my life and it infuriates me and I can't let that kind of thinking go on anymore. You can't be a successful Christian. See, here's the thing. Well, you might say, oh, you're going to be rich. And you know what they say, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of the candle. Give God credit that he gave you the ability to do it. And go get some. When you do moves like that, you do three or four of them, it's not even stressful. And people think, oh, you go get a loan. They're still thinking in terms because of what they're making at their hourly rate anyway to pay it off anyway. It's dumb. Let the job pay it off. Let the equipment do what it's supposed to do, make money. Go start your own business. Go be a help. That way you can leave your children and their grandchildren and your grandchildren something. And don't just sit there and possess it, cash flow it. So that way you don't hand them off a big turd. With that, I'm up. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Zach. And before we go to communion, can you turn it down up here? We're going to have a song, and it is Get Back on the Road to Loving God.
You say you came to pass the time of day. Why not confess that you have lost your way? Say you missed me in the time we spent apart, and you wish you knew the way back to my heart. Get back on the road to loving God again. Not the trail of yellow bricks that led to sin. Just say you repent the wind and mean it deep within. And get back on the road to loving God again. Never mind all the sorrow and the show and all the vows. With you they come and go. Get through, you mean to love him faithfully. And take up your cross and follow along with me.
I like that song. Get back on the road to loving God again. And that's one of the song that I wanted to start off before we go to this part of the sermon that we call communion. And we've been doing things different and tried to have a smorgasbord of that, so to speak. And I really enjoyed some of Pastor Peter's timeless communion messages. And, you know, those messages, it's pretty hard nothing holds a candle up to that. It's just they were timeless and they were perfect. The scripture we got. Okay, well, all right. The scripture that wanted to start off with this morning is Proverbs 10, and I'm going to start in verse 16. It says the wages of the righteous is life. The income is punishment. He is on the path he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. And this last week, I had a somebody that shared a showed me a video, and it was on, and it was basically showing the importance of to basically from getting from point A to point B. And you know, I thought about it instantly. It's like just navigating through life and how we are trying to. We know the destination where we want to be. We think we know how to get there, but it's the corrections that we make through our life that get us to our destination. And the video was really interesting because it was a group of school children, and they had taken the classroom and they had put two layers of and drawn basically a course. They had different courses. They had ones that was drawn in a straight line, and they had ones that had detours or obstacles that they would go around. And they had this course laid out, and they would take one of the students, and they would spin them around in circles, and then they would put them on the path, and then they divided up the other students. And the other student's job was they had a group of students that were given instructions and telling them, you know, on course or off course, and they when they're off course. And the other group of students was their job was to keep track of how much of the time that they were on course and how much of the time that they were off course. And so they had different students, and it was basically a psychology class. And they would spin them around, and they would put them on that path, and they're trying to get to the destination. And it was interesting because they were constantly making these corrections. They were constantly going to the right and going to the left, and it was off course, off course, off course, off course, on course. And it really made me think about it was those constant just corrections to get back on course that got them to the destination. They all ended up getting to the destination. But most of the time, and the majority of the time, they were off course. And, you know, as we come to partake of communion, this is something that gets us back on course. And it's those corrections that we make to get us from point A to point B. We've constantly got to be making those corrections. It's trying, it's working, it's work, and you're not going to get it without putting some effort into it. 2 Timothy 3:16 is the next scripture that I want to go to. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for the teaching, rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. And, you know, I talked to somebody this week, and, you know, they told me that they watch church with us every Sunday, and but they don't take communion. And it was just... that was their do it. And it was, you know, kind of sad and kind of, you know, it's like, okay, what have you got with communion? And, you know, this person, when I was talking to them, I mean, they told me that they know the importance of it and they know that they're supposed to be doing it, but they just don't do it. And to me, that's really sad. And I'm sure that if I talk to one person out there that does that, then I'm sure there's quite a few more that do that as well. I hope not, and I pray that that's not the case. I know that to some people it just seems foolish. And, you know, the things of God, simple things of God, sometimes seem foolish to men. And anyway, I know that it's important, and we've had quite a few messages here recently on the importance of it. And I really think that, you know, as we try to, you know, get to where we're going, it's those things that it's assist to us. It's for our health. I mean, we are commanded to forget none of the benefits that we can achieve through partaking of communion. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, taking that time to, you know, think about the things that I'm doing. And, you know, it's some things you want to change in your life overnight. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, you, you fight and you struggle and you try. And as we drink of the blood and eat of the flesh, I know that it is one of those things that it puts us in alignment with Christ, and it gets us back on that path. And of course, and you know, as the week goes on, sometimes we stray off a course, and it's the time that we need to make those corrections and get back on. And I know that it's, for me, it's sad to just do not, after all the teaching that we've had on communion, that there's those that are out there that just don't take it serious. And so I take it for what it's worth, but you don't have to hear it from me. Maybe it's because you don't want to take communion because I'm standing here, or else is standing here, or you're, because it's a video of Pastor Peters, he's not here. But it's, you're missing out if you're not partaking of communion. It is, we're commanded to do it, and we need to do it. And it's humbling sometimes to do it and think about the things that we've done that are wrong, that we want to get back on course. And we need to, as before we do partake of it, I just want us to take a moment and think about the things that we want to get back on track with in our lives, whether it's not loving with all our heart, mind, and soul, whether it's, we have things in our lives that, you know, we want to purge from it, whether it's healing. I mean, I really think that it's the time that we need to remember the price that was paid for our sins and for our healing and making us right. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I don't know if I got the thoughts that I was trying to, that I wanted to get across, but Lord, I know that this is important, and I'm thankful and grateful for all the blessings that we can obtain through your blood and your body. And as we partake of it today, I just pray, Father, that you get us back on the course to loving you again, that you, whatever we are off course on in our lives, I pray that you help us to get on track. I pray that you assist us. I pray that you guide us. I pray that you direct us. I pray, Father, that you wisdom and give us knowledge and give us understanding, and that you help us, and that you just allow our people to have the love for you and your kingdom that we need to have. We pray, Father, that as you're opening doors, that you give us the wisdom to step through them and to, as the remnant. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves, over our church, over the body. And as we partake of this today, Father, we remember your Son that was put upon the cross, the price that was paid for our, without that blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, that we'd all have a death sentence. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for it. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen. You may...